Good morning.
Good morning, Father.
Thank you for being so lively. I mean, really, you know, you respond. I'll just leave it at that. It's a great thing, really. It's worshipful to kind of have that back and forth. Quit pinching that baby. I know who that baby is. You're fine, don't worry. We all know that from very early age, we learned that the Trinity was a mystery. And oh, this is a very good gospel. It's a beautiful gospel, really. But it's pretty hard to understand at first hearing, right?
Yes.
Don't just say that because I'm asking. I mean, they could have used something obvious, like for the Trinity, like how about the baptism of Jesus? And that would be a lived experience of the Trinity. For the Son comes out of the water, and he hears the voice of the Father, and the Holy Spirit was evident in the dove of the Holy Spirit. Like, that's a little more obvious, right? They're all metaphors, because we don't have words. We don't have language or really images, ultimately, that can contain or fully express the reality of God. But it's a beautiful, really, and a very important feast because it gives us the opportunity to take a couple of minutes and really try to understand the mystery of the God in whom we believe. I think it was an inspiration at the Mass yesterday at 4. You know, I think I began by asking the people if they felt grace. Do you feel grace when you come to Mass and when you leave? Do you feel the grace of God? Are you moved in some way by what you hear in the Word, in this proclamation, maybe something I might say, in the Word and the Sacrament? Do you feel God's blessing, God's healing, God's favor? Do you feel God within yourselves as you're really called to take God out into the world? Good. Good. It's working. That's what's supposed to happen. You know, and it's kind of rude to say, you're not just here punching your religious card. You know, there's no time clock coming either the doors. Now, how about this question? And I know you probably have never thought of this before. Maybe you have. If you didn't believe in the God of Christianity, the Trinity, have you ever been tempted to believe in another kind of God? What other kind of God would be worthy of the name God? I mean, what is God? I mean, I honestly don't remember, but I'm going to take a wild stab at it. What was the answer? Was the first or second or third question in the Baltimore Catechism? I'm dating myself, I know. I think it was something like, God is the supreme being. Ooh, and it kind of made just go, okay, well, we better behave when we're around God because he's supreme. But if we break that down really a little bit in a manner of understanding the reality of who and what God is, what a powerful reality of the divine, that God is sovereign, God is supreme. And even those words don't even reach or touch the reality of what God is. You're quite aware, and I'm not going to stop doing it, talking about the love of God all the time. I mean, you come to church and you talk about the life of Christ. What else would you talk about? I know I've said this before. I'm not going to spend my life talking about sin every day. Why wouldn't I talk about the love of God, you see? The question comes to mind, too. And I don't know if I've been asked that. I think I've been asked this question. I don't remember by who. But I've heard of the question. Have you ever asked your spouse or a dear friend, why do you love me? Now, we can have adjectives. Well, you're nice. Well, you know, probably the best answer, I love you because you love me. Am I right? You can kind of say adjectives. Well, you help me, you heal me, you bless me. You know, you do things for me that no one else can do, etc. You know, there's adjectives you can use. But we love those who love us. And isn't it in, it's either in one of Paul's epistles or I think it's in the letters of John. It is not that we have loved God, but that God has first loved us. So that we love God, whether we know it or not, if we have any religious disposition in ourselves with faith, we're loving God because God loved us. The older I get and the more I read and pray and study these realities, it's beautiful. I mean, I don't know how many. I'm going to say 10 is probably 15 years. Is Sue Gordon here today? No. They travel a lot. They're retired. I think it's 10 or so years ago at one of the vocation dinners, she made a little card because I don't remember. I think it was just an inspiration. I don't believe I read it. I think it was an inspiration. And I started to say, you'll remember this, love is truth. God is?
Love.
And Jesus Christ is?
God.
Pretty good, right? That really says a lot. And it was a grace, it was an inspiration that helped me to realize that. Why is love truth? Because it's unchanging. And it makes us what we are or what we're called to be as human beings. We're not human beings because we can make money and build houses and get stuff and I'm more human because I have more than you or I'm less human because you have more than me. We're human beings because our deepest nature is to love. Because without love, we will not thrive. And we would even die. Was it World War I? I think it was World War II. I've said this before. In England, when they did this study, when many of the women were in the war factories making bombs and airplanes and that, and the babies in the NICU or the... whatever they call that, where they keep the babies. No, okay, no, thank you. And a lot of the babies, statistically, more of the babies died because their mothers weren't there. They were out making airplanes and bombs. They didn't have the love and affection of their parent, you see. That's why love is truth. It's also why God is love. And as Christians, we profess that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh, incarnate. You know that I say quite often, and I say it in my prayer every day, unity, Trinity, essence of love. God is the essence of love. So what's an essence? If you Google it, well, this is what I got when I Googled it, and it's a pretty good definition, I think. The essence of a thing or a person reveals its truth. Essence is the intrinsic nature and the indispensable quality of a thing or a person which defines its character. God, the supreme being. God who is sovereign. I find those to be important words for me as we reflect on the mystery of the Trinity. The Trinity is difficult to understand, but I don't think it's as difficult as to understand as we think it is. So if no one's ever asked you, or if someone has asked you, why do you love me? That's not a bad question. And it would probably strengthen the bonds of love that you have with your spouse. If you could share with one another, why I love you because, and to struggle, find some words. And if you're a praying person, and I know you are, you could pray with that. And then you'd feel more deeply the reality of God. Take God out of the religious frame and just feel God's nature in you. That's really what the Trinity is about. Because I think it is as obvious as it is difficult. When a person's in love, that love, at least to that person, is obvious. And I've read, again, pretty sure some years ago, that when a person falls in love, there's even a chemical change, a chemistry chemical change, somehow, I don't know if it's blood or whatever, in the body. Love is that powerful when it has that impact on persons. So that God is the source and origin of all that love. So to consider the Trinity, you know, the images, I think you probably had the same. I went to Catholic school for my 12 years, etc. And I don't know, second, third, fourth grade, whatever it was, and Sister Mary, they were IHM nuns, they were all Sister Mary something. You remember that? Yeah. And how did we learn about the Trinity? The three-leaf? Yeah. How about when you find a four-leaf clover? Messes up the whole thing, doesn't it? It's not a bad image, but it's pretty incomplete, isn't it? It's only one little stem and three leaves. One God in three persons. One God expressed in three ways of being. Creator, Redeemer, Sanctifier. God, the creator and giver of all life, Jesus, Son of God, born of the Virgin Mary, fully human, fully divine. You've heard it 1,000 times. Holy Spirit, sanctifier, the unity of love, the love of the Father for the Son and the love of the Son for the Father, so pure, so unchanging, it simply is the Holy Spirit. And as we say in our creed every time, and the Holy Spirit proceeds or goes forth. The love of God goes forth through the action and the work of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus, into you. So if another person has asked you, why do you love me? I don't think anybody here can think of a time, I would be surprised, and tell me if you do, has a child ever said to a parent, why do you love me? Kids don't say that to their parents. They say that when their parents don't love them. Why is that? Because the divine DNA is our DNA. We were made in love, for love, and by love. It's our deepest nature. That's the Trinity. Now, to put it in the church frame, we're baptized into Christ by the sprinkling and the pouring of water. We receive the Holy Spirit. So that the Spirit brings us to Jesus, Jesus brings us to the Father, and as St. Paul so aptly says, we are temples of the Holy Spirit. Your deepest DNA is God's DNA. Not really in the same way that a child has the DNA of their mother or their parents. Happy Father's Day, by the way, dads. Okay? But children don't say to their parents, well, what do you love me for? And some days you kind of wonder. You know what I mean? But you don't say it. But sadly, it does happen at times. So that really leads to what I think is an important point. That somewhat unconsciously, I think we can tend to believe or tend to think that one reason we don't understand the Trinity is because we believe it to be outside of ourselves. Well, God's in heaven, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and I'm down here, and God tries to do God's part, and I do my part, and somehow we all get along. No, that's not it. We'll come to understand the Trinity more if we accept the experience of the reality of God within ourselves. I said this yesterday. I did three masses yesterday. Well, I haven't done that in like 25 years. How do I look today? There was a 10 o'clock funeral, a 1 o'clock wedding, and a 4 o'clock mass. Yeah, that's what I said. But you know what? I felt grace all day. And I heard a couple of confessions, too. I was probably glowing yesterday. But you know the problem? I actually said this at the wedding, or maybe it was the funeral, or maybe at both. Why don't we realize that God's DNA is our DNA, and that the Holy Trinity is learnable from within ourselves? What hinders that, well, obviously, is the disorder of sin. And I did say this at one or both of those masses. More often than not, as Christians, and maybe particularly as Catholics, I don't know, we tend to live in the moral frame, right? And that we know we're sinners, and we can't deny that. It's part of our reality as human beings. We're creatures, and we're sinners. But if we're always looking only through that moral lens and that moral frame, it's going to be very difficult to perceive and accept and understand the essence of a love you can't defeat. That doesn't excuse the disorder of sin and hate and fear and evil. Oh, we can see the effects of that in the world. I hope you're praying for that. And I'm not in any way diminishing the necessity and the value, the character, the moral life. We need that. But if we can only see God through the moral lens, it's kind of looking through Coke bottles. I think that's why it's so hard to imagine that the Trinity of God is also in the essence of what we are. That makes perfect sense to me. And that's the beauty of Christianity, is it not? It is. Because God became one like ourselves in all things but sin, born of the Virgin Mary, fully human, remaining fully divine, so that God became what we are, all that we are without sin, so that we could come and share all that God is in the glory of heaven. I know, it's pretty mind-blowing. I never heard that conversation when I was in grade school. I only learned it after I finished the seminary some years later. That whole word of divinity that we're called, was it Keating? Who was, don't just try to be a saint. Strive for divinization. Well, how do we do that? Well, I've said it before. It's by our participation in Christ. To believe what we believe in its reality, that baptized in water, receiving the Holy Spirit, God's life is our life. It's in us. It's in us so that when we participate in Christ, in other words, we try to imitate in the course and the source of our lives, we try to imitate in some way the manner of our life to align it with the life of Christ. That's participation in Christ. Are we going to do it perfectly? No, we're going to fall down, we're going to mess up, we're going to have our faults, failures, and sins. But they're forgiven. Because the love of God is unchanging. It's not going anywhere. Well, you know, I've mentioned this before, and I do not believe in the theology, the cooties theology of sin. Cooties? Just in case you missed the word. Do kids in second grade still get cooties? I mean, is that still a thing? I bet you it is. And we kind of learned that. I can't do that because I got to go to confession first. Yeah, probably. If anybody goes to confession anymore, well, that'd be a good thing too. But if you look beyond a lot, you look beyond that sometimes. to see the reality of what we profess in the divine reality of God that shared our human reality. So that to the degree that we participate in the life of the Son, are we not entering more fully into our union with the Father as his sons and daughters, we brothers and sisters with Jesus, only by the grace of the Holy Spirit? I know it's real wordy. It's real wordy. Think about your relationships. Think about your love. Think about your love for your grandkids. All those interactions that go on that make you feel so good about yourself. Who was I talking to? Somebody. Someone I see for spiritual direction, and this person was telling me, oh my God, Father, you know, I was so happy. It's just so great. You know, my grandson, like he said grandma for the first time. I thought she was going to fall off the chair. She was so happy. You see, that's grace. That's participation in Christ, you see. It's all those little things. Oh, well, that was cool. Well, that's also grace. It's the evidence of God. So I use the image here, if you're reading my article, you know, the image of the vine and the branches, I think, is a good example for this today. Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches, my Father is the vine grower. Now, I've never done it personally, but I think most of us know, I know we have two or three or more master gardeners here, and we know what grafting is. When a young shoot is sliced off of a tree and it's stemmed onto another plant or onto another little branch. Now, I don't think they use super glue, but somehow they get those two things to stay together. And mostly, at least in my simple knowledge, it's usually fruit trees, isn't it? And you get all kinds of different kinds of fruit. How do we end up with so many kinds of oranges, tangelos, tangerines, and halos? I think grafting. Apples, tomatoes, those are all, not that God didn't create a whole bunch of different kinds of things, but we graft things and you get all these different varieties of stuff. Have we not been grafted into Christ, stemmed to the Lord by the waters of baptism, the grace of the Holy Spirit, and his dying and rising? We have. We belong to God and God belongs to us. So as difficult and mysterious as it all seems, it can be pretty simple. Pretty simple. Look at the bonds of love that animate your life and the animation of life you give to others by your love for them. That's the evidence in the presence of God in the Holy Trinity. Again, sin gets in the way, but God cannot be divided. God cannot, on the one hand, be a fullness of eternal love, and on the other hand, have a bad day and want to punish everybody. It doesn't fit. Sin, it's its own punishment. Think about the Trinity today. It takes a lot of faith and bold courage to fall into the hands of the living God. Somebody said that one time. I don't remember who, but I'll say it today. It takes faith. In today's world, in any day, to believe in a God so pure and perfect in love, bold courage in all the weaknesses that are ours, to accept and trust the unlimited, unconditional, unchanging love of God. It's the truth of our faith. It's the Holy Trinity. Praise be God for Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Dads, have a great day, because I'll have more to say about that at the end of Mass.